Greetings. Greetings, greetings, and salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. I am St. Thomas, the twin. You can call me Arrow. This show airs every other Sunday at noon central, and on the opposite Sundays will be the Twin Sisters show, a project review with Q and Arrow. We want to thank BBS Radio. Don and Doug are fabulous. They are 100% our technical support, and we couldn't do this without them. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We want to thank our production manager, Sheila, who's here in the house today. Thank you to our project team on the sister show. We actually have a guest today that's going to be coming in, is one of the members on the project team. So we're really excited to have him joining us today. And then we want to thank our subscribers. They give us endless support, and I can't even put into words how important that is. These shows do cost money, and there is a couple other costs. One of these days I'm going to get a nice microphone because I have a song to sing today, and I'm still using a lesser microphone, so I hope it comes across okay on that. And I want to, before I do this song, I just want to do a disclaimer. However, I'm going to use a quote from our guest today, is a beautiful gentleman that I am so honored that he volunteered to join the project team and help out on that. That's a lot of a task there. We've got a lot of emails that we're going to hopefully be coming in, and a lot of work to be attended to there. And when I first heard this gentleman, I was on a show being inspired by Q with Q Friends, and he called in. And I've always said, you know, just what resonates with you, take it and leave the rest. But I really enjoy this gentleman's wording. He always uses these really fabulous words. And so with permission, he's given me permission to continue to quote this. He said he was referring to the people who have all started shows that were training under Q, and then we've all spurred off and started our own shows. And he said that what he liked about all these shows is that nobody says anything that's condemning or put down, moved, or pushed to the side. Then he quoted Shane, "We all resonate in different ways." And he quoted my brother Q at saying, he said, "Q always said that I am here to bring light and truth, and whatever resonates with you, go with it and leave the rest." And that's really significant, that I always want to remind people on this show in particular. 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel had a twin sister, and I'm showing up to the platform today. The light in me was the light in her. And Yeshua never came here to be a savior or a messiah, and I certainly am not here to be one today. I came in born with all the DNA restrictions, just like everyone else, and I'm just remembering who I am. That's what Yeshua was here teaching, is just helping us remember who we are. We are the goddesses and gods. We are the creator of our realities. We are infinite creatures, we are infinite beings, and we have the power to do anything we want, create anything, and be anything. So by all means, just go to your heart and take from these shows what resonates with you and leave the rest. And on that note is Black Butterfly. I call you beautiful Black Butterfly now. In emails, we always just wrote BB because it was, his name is Black Butterfly with two capital B's, all one word. And now my name for him is Beautiful Black Butterfly with three capital B's, all one word. Would you like to join us, Black Butterfly? Your mic's on mute, maybe? We're not getting, we see you in the Zoom room, but we're not hearing you. Okay, I have a song. If Black Butterfly needs to call, if you need to call Sheila or need to try something different, we just have a mute microphone from you, Black Butterfly. I'll go ahead and do my song here while we're waiting. This song is one of my original songs that went into my songbook. It's one of my favorites. It's kind of long, and I haven't brought it to the table yet. And this morning when I got on my devices and asked my team if I had a song to sing today, they said this one. The song is called Old Stories. The band, I wish I had the exact pronunciation that the band would prefer I use. I asked the devices how to pronounce this, and of course they gave me two different ways. So it's Ya-ima or Ya-ima, spelled Y-A-I-M-A. This is one of my favorite current bands here. Their words are incredibly inspirational for the timing that we're in right now. So, Old Stories by Ya-ima. Creating concrete visions of a macrocosmic prism with a brilliant optimism and appropriate ambition to be open from the center, redirected to the moment. This is it, love. This is it, love. Unrestrainable nature. We can change it from the edges. We can challenge all our borders. There is always a new leader. There is always a new order. Our pathway is proceeding, and the way is always changing. We are free from what prevents us to realize our destination. Free from all old stories I've been told, I walk through the valley of my own shadow. Free from all old stories I've been told, I walk through the valley of my own shadow. Awareness is my virtue, and I'm grateful for the search to dive deep within my own mind and to trust the intuition of the lives I've lived before this are essential forms of gnosis. It's a simple form of freedom. It's as smooth as inhalation. Oh, the exhale is releasing all the tension I've been feeling on the surface and beneath me. I'm connecting to my spirit, and I'm here now right before you. I am present in this moment. My life's work is to honor the great beauty all around you. Free from all old stories I've been told, I walk through the valley of my own shadow. I want to explain a little bit about that song. I am free from all my old stories I've been told, which is the dark that's been running this planet, has just fed us with all these old stories that we were all trapped in the darkness of creating. Today, all of the major dark entities that kept us here in Prison Planet have been removed. And now it's up to us. We're all organically unfolding, awakening, thriving, creating this new earth together. And so any darkness at all is only from the valley of my own shadow, which is still, so some of our darkness, some of the densities that we have here are just coming from us. So it's really common for us to think when we feel dark and heaviness in our days, we feel like maybe we're being attacked. And we learned as Q trainers, when we started listening to Q 5 years ago, there was dark at hand and there was an oppositional force. And we were all learning that. I still hear a lot of people still talking like it's still an outside force. And it's my understanding that the outside oppositional forces have already been taken care of. The war has already been won. And now what we're all learning to do is live from our own self, our own center, our own creator within. And so any darkness, I have to own it myself. And it's not my first go-to. The other morning I woke up with repeating some crazy thing in my head when I woke up, and immediately when I fully awoke, and I immediately went, "That's not me. That's not me. Oh, who put that in my head? Who's attack?" You know, and that's not right. I had to wake up more and realize I am the creator of my own reality today and take full responsibility. Why was I playing that tape in my head? It's because there's still some valleys of shadow in there. And it's just a matter of cleaning it up. When I become aware of it, then I can address it. And I always can love myself through it, through the process. If I recognize I have fears today, I recognize I can create from that. So it's really significant for me to acknowledge what my fears are, Aaron, and then love myself for having them and love myself through it. One of the words that the team here that's on with this right now, we use the word grace. And so I really like grace. Grace, I'm going to practice grace with myself, and I'm going to practice grace with others. Everyone is doing the best that we can do.
Hey, Arrow.
Yes.
Looks like Black Butterfly has rejoined us.
Okay.
I think there was something wrong with his initial connection. Butterfly, are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Sheila. You're right. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, loud and clear. Beautiful.
I'm so sorry, but it was supposed to be that I was not able to come in at the time that you signified because you had to bring us what you just did. So thank you so much. And
yeah, I had a song and I debated on whether to bring you in first or just do the song. And I guess everything worked out.
Exactly. Thank you.
Awesome. And I really was taken I have a couple quotes from you. The one I read, which is the word, I just love the wording of it, that, you know, nobody puts down, moved, or pushed aside. And the other thing that I recognized when I first heard you come in is you, at one time you were a pastor and you were carrying some heavy feelings about teaching people lies or wrong, because we know that all the belief systems that we've grown up with always direct you to a God outside of ourselves. And we know now that the creator source is within us. And you had some heavy stuff on your heart about your past and about the teachings and misleading people through those teachings.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes, I was an ordained minister at the age of 18, excuse me, 19. Okay. And I was involved with various religions for many years up until, let's say, I don't know, 2008, 2001, 2002, and then I came out of Christianity, also Judeo-Christianity, Evangelical Christianity, Church of God in Christ Christianity, and so forth. The thing that, and by I want to say, preclude with this, we don't knock people who believe in their religious faith. That's not why we're here. We want to bring this message as you are doing so eloquently, my dear sister, Errol Thomas, St. Thomas. I'm telling you, when you first introduced yourself as that, I was like, oh boy. We have been deceived in so many ways across the board throughout our lives. Our parents were deceived across the board throughout their lives and generation and generation and generation before. And you so bravely took on the responsibility to bring forth your message. What you are saying, I've never heard anybody else say, regard themselves as Hugh's twin sister or St. Thomas, who was actually not a man, it was a sister twin. Okay,
The
now,
twin, yeah.
when I heard that, I was like, she's got to be kidding. Who's going to believe that? Because I had been deceived and fooled so many times, and I gave my life being everything that I had. I put into the religious faith and teachings throughout my life. From childhood, I was born into it. And as we're in this awakening, this new earth is here. I mean, this ascension process, which you speak about so clearly and vividly, I have learned and gained so much by listening to you. Yes, we listen to Q, your twin brother. Yes. And everybody, when we look at the people who are the Q, friends of Q, as we call them, who have taken the responsibility to continue the work which your twin brother Q began, and also Ron Amatron, we're not forgetting, or Princess Diana, okay, the spirit that was in her. Okay, we know that the body of Yeshua was a three-column light, including Diana, she the one we know as Q, and Ron Amatron. And for you to come, and nobody, for years I've been listening to BBS radios, the arrangement, the all the shows since the original Q calls shows, and all the ones that sprung forth from it, from those shows, nobody said what you said. And I have been trained to understand I can smell a rat from a long distance. So when you said what you said, I was taken aback because I was like, she makes sense, but this can't be. And I kept listening to you because what your words were resonating with my spirit. It was indelibly ingrained in my spirit. I recognize who you were, who you are. So when, yes, I volunteered to come onto your show to be a part of your team because I know what your team is about. And I'm so grateful that you saw to include me, to allow me the privilege to partake in this as we're going through this transition. When you take it the word Black Butterfly, yes, it was your twin brother Q who tagged that name to me. And at the time, I didn't know, have the full understanding or concept of what Black Butterfly really is. I had an idea, but since then I've come to learn and to understand, and it was through me dealing with you that helped me come to the realization of what the word, and I'm not going to take up a lot of time here to point to me, because but just for people to understand where I'm coming from when I talk about what I was teaching people unknowingly and wrongfully, black butterfly, black, all butterflies go through a transition period from a caterpillar into the cocoon, and then they spring forth as a beautiful butterfly. The black butterfly, in particular, is black. And that color is in representation of it's representing the night, the mystery, the unknown. And so going through our transition, which is what we're all going through in the ascension, we're going through a transition. And yes, the battle is already done. It's already over. We're watching a movie. At the same time, we're still experiencing this walk in this dimension. And
I
we.
do want to mention you sent me the pictures of the black butterfly, and I used to it was a horrible thing for me today, but back when I was in sixth grade, there was these beautiful jars where they had taken real butterflies and posted them in different sceneries. And to my surprise, when you sent me those photos, I used to have one. It's a black butterfly, but it had bright fluorescent green colors in it, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Indeed,
Yeah.
in various cultures or traditions, people look at the black butterfly as meaning in a symbolic fashion, representing change. And although they don't understand the what is happening in their lives because it's not fully made, they don't fully understand, I should say, understand. It hasn't come through their heart yet, but they're going through a transition period. And the symbology of the black butterfly is that, yes, like all butterflies, it is beautiful. And it goes, but it also, and also, it represents the night, the mystery, the unknown. And now you're coming into the known. Okay, and that's what we're all about.
And then the other thing too that we had discussed before is about, your heaviness at teaching the wrong and deceiving, and but in our hearts, when in days of old, as we weren't we from our hearts actually longing to help people, and we had love in our hearts. So even though we were teaching maybe a false doctrine that we had been taught, right? We're just passing on the teachings, but weren't you in your heart, your heart's purpose in doing that was to help people?
Yes, indeed.
So, and I think that protects you and it protects other people, that the inspiration that really came from your heart was all in the right direction. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
And that was always my in my purpose. Okay.
Yeah. And Sheila gave us the word grace, because that's where we find grace for ourselves. And the fact that, our whole as inspiration there is to help people, and we will give ourselves grace.
One of the things that brought me to reality to look elsewhere was when I was a minister, I was a pastor, and the head of the organization in another state, was turned out to be, well, he was not his purpose was to take advantage of the congregation, of the people, and it was greed and other things. He had this business at the headquarters or location in another state where he would sell essential oils and other natural nutrients and minerals and all that kind of stuff. And so they wanted everybody to buy their products. I had a gentleman in my area who had been diagnosed with HIV. Okay. He was in a hospital. And at that time, my wife and I, we went to the hospital to take him out because they wanted to give him the doctor's profession, the medical profession, as we know, and you mentioned on one of your earlier shows. It's designed to oppress us, to steal, to make us sick, to keep us sick, unhealthy, and so forth. Anyway, my wife and I, we went to take him out of the hospital because they wanted to give him AZT. It was a drug, AZT. But we have been practicing what is called uropathy. Uropathy. If you don't know what that word means, it has to do with urine therapy. I'm not going to get into it. You can research this. You can go on to buy the Amazon. It's all over the internet if you know where you're looking. But we were practicing it because we know that uropathy, urine is a what do you call it? It's pure. It's what's the word escapes me now. But it's something that has been used for thousands and thousands of years in certain cultures. It is sterile. No, excuse me, what's the word? It has no ill effects to the human body. Your urine that comes out of you is good. It can go back into you, but the medical profession doesn't want us to know. So we were deceived in that area as well. People buy shampoo that has horse urine in it because horse urine has an effect on your body, on your it brings about your the follicles. Okay, it revitalizes the hair follicles in your scalp, and it grows back your hair. And my wife at the time, her brother who was in his 30s, he was losing his hair prematurely, and she showed him about how to rub it into your scalp, and he grew his hair back. Anyway, to this gentleman that we took out of the hospital, we brought to our apartment, and we had him using his therapy, his urine for uropathetic purposes, and he was healing. He was getting better and better and better. And
I'm going to
somebody,
say bless you for saving the man's life.
I
I
almost.
was a theater student and I knew people I a lot the, there's large gay community in the theater realm, and I know people that went in the hospital and never came out.
Yes. The sad part, though, is that after we got him out and he was recovering, and he was so thankful, he looked at me in my eyes with tears. Thank you, Elder. You saved my life. But somebody in a congregation who was against what I was doing called to the headquarters church and reported that I had this gentleman using urine therapy. Okay. And that pastor, that the founder of the organization, he called me one of two times that he ever called me to tell me that we had to cease and desist from this treatment because he did not want anybody else in the whole church organization to find out that they didn't need his products. So he told me, he showed me in the Bible, he's trying to show me in the Bible where urine is detrimental to intake it back into your body, and he couldn't show me any scriptures, and he was equating it to feces. Okay, now that's waste that has to be eliminated from the body, but urine is sterile. You can sterilize things with your urine, and many people have been healed by using it, intaking it in the morning, and I'm not going to get into that now, but this is what happened. So the pastor of the founder of the organization told me that I had to cease and desist from this treatment, and I went to the gentleman. I said, "The pastor says, the overseer says that we have to stop this treatment because it's against the Bible. It's against the Bible." And I said, "But the man," and I explained to the overseer, "he's getting better. How can it be detrimental to him if it's healing him?" He said, "You have to stop." So I went back and told the gentleman, I'm getting a note from Sheila. Okay.
Oh, that's
Oh, that's to you. Okay.
we're talking about my background noise.
Oh,
Sorry.
okay. But anyway, I'm going to bring the end to this just to show you about how we've all been deceived. I told the gentleman that you can no longer use this and you have to go back home. We're going to stop this treatment and you'll go back home. He looked at me in my eyes with tears. He says, "But Elder, if I stop this urine treatment, I'm going to, and go home, I'm going to die." And I told him, "Well, the overseer has spoken." We looked at him as the overseer, that he was a direct connection to God or Yahweh, as we call them in that religion. And
You know, this is a great example of how I don't want anybody to give me the power or you the power to tell them what to do with their lives. That was how we used to do it. We used to give the elders in the church power over us, or the doctors, or the whoever we deemed as authority outside of ourselves, we used to give them the power to tell us right and wrong for us. And what we're doing here is asking and teaching people to go to their hearts and discern all information there, that we are the creators of our own realities, and I want to take ownership of my choices today.
yes.
So that is a great example. And just so you know, beautiful black butterfly, this is now your show. So you can give us all the information about your history, and any questions that you have for me is you take it away, whatever you want to do.
Okay, thank you so much. I do have questions. You are somebody I always have questions for. Anyway, in ending the story about the young man, just as he said, we stopped the urine therapy in obedience to what we were directed. He submitted to my so-called authority, as I submitted to the overseer's so-called authority, and we did as we were told. He went home, and about less than 2 months later, I was eulogizing him at his funeral. Nobody dies. I didn't know that then. But the only eulogization I've ever done as a minister over all those years was his. I sentenced him to his demise. And I had to live with that guilt for a long, long time, but no longer. I look at that now and I can laugh and forgive myself and love that brother. He's not dead. And I forgive the man who gave me the order to put him to death. We are all innocent because. And we have to learn to love ourselves and forgive ourselves and to forgive those who have brought harm to us. And it goes back to our parents and our parents' parents and so forth and so on. This is something that is so important that we grasp a hold of, because the people who are coming into this call, and I'm telling you, my dear sister, Errol, Didymus, St. Thomas, all the names that you are is who you are. Like you always say, when we understand what we are, where we are, and how we are, that's what we bring to the table. And I'm so exuberant about being able to participate in that. When I had to go after you, giving the eulogy at this funeral, I had to continue being the pastor of this congregation. And then once, 3 times a year, according to the Old Testament, 3 times a year you go to Jerusalem, but there was no Jerusalem, but there was a place in another state that was designated as our Jerusalem, and I being a priest, we wore the yarmulke, or the kippah, is what we call the kippah, and we had the shroud, or the garments, the holy garments with the the things at the end of the, like you see Jewish people, they wrap their fingers, they have the tzitzit, we call it. And so we did all of that. So when I had to go back to speak to Yahweh's people, whether it be in our hometown where I was a pastor or when I was an elder, along with others, when we came to the headquarters 3 times a year, I had to research to get the information to bring forth a sermon, to put the words together from Yahweh or from God or from, source. Or, I mean, what we didn't know was source, but. And I found myself having difficulty. I was like, wait a minute. If this says this, and this writing says that, and I'm trying to put together a message to give to Yahweh's people, it doesn't jive. Something is not correct here. And I came to the point where I could no longer carry it out. And I had to let the people know, listen, I love you. I've always tried to do well, to do you justice, looking after your well-being, getting to know you as friends and associates and so forth and so on, and as a spiritual leader and all this kind of stuff. There's no such thing as a spiritual leader. But I didn't know that. Q always told us that we are equal to him. He says, do not look up to him like he has authority, and you say the same message. So, and I listen to Shane and various other people who are on the Q train, as you called it. We all understand that this is the awakening, this is the ascension, this is the time, the transformation, and the war is already done. But we just have to keep on watching the movie until the thing is ended. And the people who are going to be coming on to this show from all walks of life, different experiences, some from have a religious background and others don't. Let me tell you, let me say here, Satanism, Luciferianism are religions. All religions come under this word. Is CULT, cult. No matter what religion that you look up, when you look up the word cult, you'll find that every religion ever introduced to humankind, they are a cult. Okay, so we don't bash cults. We don't bash people who participate in those cults. At the same time, the awakening is taking place, and people are going to be coming continuously to a St. Thomas show. This is the purpose of it. So, when I came to the realization that I could no longer teach these things or preach these things, people, I began to lose associations and friendships and so forth and so on. I mean, my life is like falling apart, but it's like the black butterfly, it's like any butterfly goes and through the transition, the process of being a caterpillar, going into the cocoon, and coming forth as a butterfly. It has to do with your individuality. We are all black butterflies because we are coming in, we're transitioning, and we're all beautiful. We're all precious. We're all loving and caring and respectful, and we're happy and joyous, and we're loving ourselves and forgiving everyone and operating through a pure heart of love and non-judgmental. And it's not easy. So when we say and we understand that the war is over, and as you pointed out, I was listening to you in one of your recordings where you're saying about how when we command our spirit to give us more of our light body, and we live we continue to grow and grow and grow more of our light body in us. This is where we come into, as part of the transition, to come to understand who we are, how we got here, what we are. And it's so essential. And so anybody who's ever been a minister or has been in any kind of position where people are looking at you as though you are an authority from a power outside of you that's greater than you, you can simply say, thank you, but no thank you. I am that I am that I am. There's no power outside of us that is greater than we are. And with your programs, this show and the sister show, you are bravely extending the tidbits, the pointers, to help people to see for themselves and go inside of themselves and let the truth resonate within themselves. So when I saw you the first time on Zoom, and I never use Zoom camera, it's been years. When I saw you and our sister teammate, and I looked into your eyes, that did it. Because if there had been any, and the thing was is that I was convinced, I knew, because it resonated with my heart, with my spirit, your voice, what do you call it, the harmonics of your voice. At the same time, when you look into somebody's eyes, and at the same time, you are intaking the harmonics of their voice, hey, that says it all. You say that you cannot prove, you don't have any proof of whom you are, who you say you are. I say this, there is no proof. There is nothing to prove that you are not. On the contrary, it is proven within my heart, soul, spirit, that what you say, that you are legitimate. And I appreciate you, and many people appreciate you as we did and do your twin brother. So I think that I've said enough about me. I want us to be happy and cheerful when we come to this call. Let's be uplifted. Let's be, an upbeat kind of thing. We don't have to be all this dead serious. I mean, G curious to tell jokes, and I should be scratching my head. I'm like, why is he telling the joke? I don't understand the seriousness this is, but he was showing us that if we love ourselves and we're happy with ourselves and we're pleased with ourselves, and if we love not only our spirit, but we love our bodies, we love the way it operates. And when you go to for the people that are space, and you look at the different articles that are on there, there's one called I can't remember what it is right now, but it shows about the body, the workings of the body, how it works. It's ingenious the way that we were created. When we respect ourselves and our bodies and the way that we treat ourselves and others, we're well on our way. And be happy. Get out in nature. Absorb nature. Let your light grow. Continually ask for more light. And we will all do well. Okay, with that, I'll give you the floor. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. And I believe you might have some questions for me today.
Yes, I do. And I thought that I was write down. I did write some questions, but right now I don't even have to look at what I wrote, because when you say that we're going to look back at this moment and we're going to see that we're going to refer to this time as the event.
The great event.
Great event, yes, the great event. And you told and you signified the years 2017 through 2027. Would you please enlighten us on that, please?
Yes, so of course it's a time signature and that's all relative, correct? So it's my understanding that in the future we do look back and say the great event. And the reason those dates came out either, I actually heard Q use those dates, or I knew that in 2017 his last implant was removed, and that's when the Q post started. And he said we would look back over a 10-year period. And it, as I looked at where we were at, I believe when I was writing that, it was 2025 when I originally wrote that somewhere, and I figured we that made sense to me. There was some stuff out about 2 more years, and I can't remember where I got that information at. And then that just kind of fell into place that Q's last implant was 2017. That's when the Q post started. And then it was 2025, and some information was like, we have like another 2 years of unfolding of this. And then so that was the 10-year period. And that printing, I actually had a letter that was written to my Christian sisters and brothers before I started this show. I had a indictment that was from Gene Decode, and somebody gave me a copy. It was a 217-page indictment, and it was in black and white in front of me. And I got all excited about it because most of the information inside of it was stuff that we'd all been learning over the last 5 years. And I wanted to go, I went to a church that I had at one time called my church, and the pastor there I had called my pastor. He had even done marriage counseling with me and someone that I married years ago. And I went to him and another gentleman in the church that I had a lot of respect for. And so I just wrote that letter because the indictment on the front of it said something about being held in a oh, here I've got it. The front page says, in the highest court of the God of all creations, and then a criminal trial, divine light, holy counsel, court of heaven, prosecutors. And I couldn't get anybody, when they looked at the front page, they just liked it like that wasn't real. Like they immediately had never heard of the court of divine counselors, and so they didn't even really recognize it as real. So I wrote a preface letter for it. And kind of my front page actually of this of the St. Thomas show is written from the letter that I wrote to my Christian sisters and brothers asking them. And even when the person who gave me this indictment by it was it's written by Gene Decode, and they gave it to me, and I said I couldn't get anybody to take it seriously when I handed it to them. And she had a fabulous point. She said, you know, even if this is not real, it still lists all the bad guys and all their crimes, whether there was a court hearing or not, whether there was an actual indictment or not. There's pages from 3 to 11 with hundreds of persecutors listed. I mean, there's thousands of people and organizations listed in the indictment. And it was just to me, when it got handed into my lap, it was fabulous. And I had a passion to turn it on to my Christian sisters and brothers. And
Yes, thank you for explaining that. And speaking of your Christian brothers, the apocalypse, okay? Christianity is going to come to understand that the apocalypse, if we're going through transition and we're in the golden age and so forth and so on, but they're looking at the events that are taking place around the world, and they're thinking that this is the apocalypse. that's taken place, that was written of in Daniel and Revelation in the Bible. I know we're going to run out of time, so I have to ask you this question. Can you please explain the apocalypse? And we know you've explained before that it's not real. It doesn't mean what we have been led to believe it means. But in the transition, if we are looking now, when we see what is happening all around us, and the world is becoming free, and people are becoming sovereign, how would you explain to Christian people or people who believe in the apocalypse, if we're looking for our children and our children's children and so forth and so on and far into the so-called future, how does the apocalypse concept?
For me, the apocalypse is real under the correct definition. We've been trained to, I was so shocked when I went out in the world and randomly started asking people what it meant to them. 9 out of 10 people said it was the end of the world. And of course, and then there's that movie out with Sylvester Stallone that just makes it, the destruction. And it was shocking to me, and most people thought that it's, I kept talking about the new earth, and they're like, yeah, but it has to get so much worse before it gets better. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to get it's already pretty bad. But the people saying that haven't really awoken to what's really gone on. So for them, as they become aware of what's already happened, that will seem worse. It will seem like it's, the end, but really, the Greek definition of apocalypse means to uncover, to reveal, and to disclose. And when I
Arrow.
was in Salt Lake City, oh, do we are we 5 minutes?
A little bit less.
Okay.
So.
When I was in Salt Lake City, I was talking to a Mormon bishop, and he said he agreed with me. He believed that apocalypse meant to reveal. He said the whole chapter of Revelations was the apocalyptic chapter. And if you take the Greek definition to reveal, the truth has already been revealed. We know it's already been brought to us. So it's really over. And it really is time to celebrate. It's just the truth is still getting revealed to many. So it's not the end of the world, it's the end of the world of darkness. The new earth is paradise without darkness.
Well said. Thank you.
Now, are you going to have a whole lot of more questions? Like maybe in 2 weeks, you should come back on and ask more questions since we only got to two.
I'll be happy to. Thank you.
Oh, you're such a blessing in my life. I love your wording. I love the way you word things. I want to thank Sheila and thank Black Butterfly. And is there anything else you want to say as we're ending today?
Enjoy the rest of
Awesome. Play, play, play. Well, all right then. That'll be a wrap. We'll see you next week with the project review, and in 2 weeks we'll come back with Black Butterfly to ask Arrow some more questions.
your day. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to the listeners and the subscribers. Love, 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 love.